Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Amen. We honor our mothers this morning. Please. Some people, when they come to the house of God, you'd think they were going to a fire when the service lets out. Because they get right out in a hurry. They rush right out. I rush down and still can't catch them. But please, all the ladies this morning, even whether a mother or not, we have a lot of flowers. So we want to give a flower to all those who are female this morning. Not those who identify as female, those who are female this morning. So don't rush out. Out there at the back, we have tulips. Amen. Given to us by Emily. Amen. So say thank you to Emily for the beautiful tulips. They are gorgeous. And we're going to give the mothers each one of those so that they can enjoy their day with a tulip. Amen? Amen? Amen. Children can go down to children's church. Don't forget the announcements. In your bulletin, I put the flyer. If I were a wife, I would be making my husband's life miserable. Until he agreed to attend this. This is fantastic. Those who of us who have gone, it is well worth it. It is so well worth it that if you want to go and you don't have the financial resources, you let me know. We'll make it happen for you. That's how important this is. We have four going already, and we'd like to have five so we get it for the cheap rate. So please sign up there in the back on the foyer. And let us know, this is the information. Next week we're going to play a video that will help you understand. But we really want to encourage the men to go. And so ladies, help me, please. Help me. Help me. Tell your husband, don't buy me diamonds. Go to Iron Sharpens Iron. And God will make a diamond out of you. So it will be better for me. Amen. Amen, amen, amen. A little different this morning. In terms of what we want to talk about, because I'm not going to talk about a common mother. I'm going to talk about an uncommon mother. If you'll look with me in Matthew chapter 20, we're going to read four verses, 20 through 23, and it says this, "Then the mother of Zebedee's sons came to him with her sons, kneeling down and asking something from him. We do not know her name. All we know is that she was married to Zebedee. And Zebedee had two sons, John and James, two apostles. And she came to Jesus in that 20th verse asking something from him. And he said to her, what do you wish? And she said to him, grant that these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and the other on your left in your kingdom. But Jesus answered and said, you do not know what you ask. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink and be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with? And they said to him, we are able. Now I want you to notice, they said to him, So this tells me that James and John were there with her. In fact, if the truth would be known, probably James and John were egging her on. Yes, Mom, yes, go for it, Mom. You can do it, Mom. Ask him, Mom. Okay? We are able. And he said to them, all three of them, you will indeed drink my cup, be baptized with the baptism that I am baptized with, but to sit on my right hand and on my left is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. I want you to notice that last line, because that's talking about you and me. But it is for those for whom it is prepared by my Father. Father, we thank you for your word. We pray that you'll make it real to each and every heart. We thank you, Lord, for each mother. And we thank you for each father. Speak to us by the Holy Ghost, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You just let Darla talk all she wants during the message. She's okay. Amen. And all the babies can talk all during the service. The toddlers and the young people can't, but the cell phones shouldn't ring, but the babies can talk. Amen. Because of such is the kingdom of heaven. Not my words, but his. Amen. It's good to remind ourselves this morning the value of a mother. Amen. And if your husband doesn't acknowledge you, you remind him this morning and this afternoon and this evening and right up until midnight. Will that work? Amen. According to businesses that calculated this sort of thing, and the only figure I could find was from 2014. How many know things have changed since 2014? Right? So what was then probably is much more now. $113,000 a year in 2014 is what a mother and wife was worth in the household. Stay-at-home moms worked to the tune of $113,000 per year, and probably now it's over $125,000. So, ladies, you can start charging. Why? Because mothers are teachers. Mothers are disciplinarians. Hello? In fact, mothers are judge, they're jury, their prosecutor, and their defense attorney. How many have ever been to court? Well, don't raise your hand. How many know that lawyers charge what? $300 an hour? Amen? See, they're cleaning ladies and they're maids. Cleaning ladies and maids, they're gardeners. Sometimes they're either mowers of the lawn. I know a husband that bought his wife a shovel for Christmas so she could shovel snow. See? Most mothers understand that baking cookies is more important than washing windows, right? They're mothers. They're nurses. Now, I don't know what nurses get paid right now, and I'm not going to ask Ruth and Stephen because they probably don't want me to know either. But I don't know, but I know that my sister-in-law, my brother, may he rest in peace, his first wife, she was a nurse and she was making, when she retired, over $60,000 a year. So doctors, they're doctors. Jonathan cut his leg when I was away. I mean, he cut his leg. He was jumping on a bamboo cage to catch canaries. And one of the strips of bamboo went right up and sliced him right up the shin, right up here. Right down to the bone. And Leah washed it real good. And I came home 3 days later and his leg was all swollen up. It was all red and there was a line headed north. And it was all pussy and white. I said, Leah, did you see that? Yeah. I doctored it. Well, she does not have a medical license, and it's well good that she doesn't. So we had to take him to the doctor. They had to cut it open again and clean it all out. And he just sat there, glutton for punishment. I had to be careful when I disciplined him because you never knew whether I was hurting him or not, or whether he felt it. They injected that, and he just sat there. And the doctor said, does that hurt? He said, no. And they cut it open. Does that hurt? He said, no. I said, you could have done it without anesthesia. They are doctors. They're psychologists. They're psychologists. They're counselors. They're chauffeurs. They're coaches. They're developers of personality. They're molders of vocabulary. They're shapers of attitudes. Mothers have a soft voice. They say, I love you. Mothers, and this is the most important part, are links to God. They will be the first impression a child gets of God and his love. Now that's heavy. That's heavy. I want to lay that on you, mothers, this morning. And fathers, you are as well. And that's important. What will it profit a whole man, a whole person, if he gains the whole world and loses his children? What will a man give in exchange for his children? What will a mother give in exchange for her children? I didn't even include here any kind of physical intimacy, which is worth a whole lot of money. There was a mother that decided that when she got married, her grandmother said, "Now, when you get married, every time your husband wants intimacy with you, you charge him." And so she decided to charge him $1. And when they had celebrated 25 years of marriage, she gave him an envelope. And he said, "This is my gift for 25 years of marriage." She said, "Yes." And he opened it, and it was the title to their home. She took that dollar. This guy really loved her. He took that dollar that he got and had to pay every time they had intimacy and paid off their mortgage in full in cash. That's what it was worth. And I didn't put that in this, but if you were to add that to the $125,000, I'm sure we would get upwards of $250,000. Mothers are all things and much, much more. How many remember Irma Bombeck? Emily, turn on the heater in there. You'll have to plug it in because I didn't turn on the heat in there. One of my favorite columns by her, I used to read her columns. In fact, we would get the paper and Dad would say, "What are you reading?" And he thought I was in the comics and I was in Irma Bombeck's column. How many remember that? Right? And she tells of God in the act of creating mothers. It was one of the greatest columns there was, and I wrote it down and found it the other day in my stack of messages. An angel said to God, "Lord, you sure are spending a lot of time on this one." He was working overtime in the creation of something. And the Lord turned and said, "Have you read the specs on this model? She is supposed to be completely washable, but not plastic. She is to have 180 moving parts, all of them replaceable. She is to have a kiss that will heal everything from a broken leg to a broken heart. She is to have a lap that will disappear whenever she stands up. She is to be able to function on black coffee and leftovers. She is supposed to have 6 pairs of hands." 6 pairs of hands? Said the angel. "That's impossible." "It's not the 6 pairs of hands that bother me," said the Lord, God Almighty. "It's the 3 pairs of eyes. She is supposed to have 1 pair that sees through closed doors, so that whenever she says, 'What are you kids doing in there?' she already knows what they're doing in there. Or a pair of eyes that sees what's on their cell phones on the internet." Listen, parents, you control that instrument. Take authority over that instrument. If you don't, it will damn the soul of your children to hell, because the devil will use it. "She has to have another pair of eyes on the back of her head, so she sees everything that she's not supposed to see, but must see. And then she has 1 pair right in the front that can look at a child that just goofed and communicate love and understanding without saying a word." "That's too much," said the angel. "You can't put that much in one model. Why don't you rest a while and resume your creating tomorrow?" "I can't," said the Lord. "I'm close to creating someone very much like myself. I'm too close to creating someone very like myself." You can turn to her, husbands and fathers, and say, You remind me of God Himself. She said, he said, I've already come up with a model who can heal herself when she's sick, who can feed a family of six on 1 pound of hamburger, and maybe hamburger helper, who can persuade a 9-year-old to take a shower. The angel looked at the model of motherhood a little more closely and said, she's too soft. Oh, the Lord said, but she is tough. You'd be surprised at how much this mother can do. Can she think? Said the angel. No, not only can she think, said the Lord, but she can reason, she can compromise, and she can persuade. Then the angel reached over and touched her cheek, and he said, this one has a leak. And God said, I told you, and the angel said, I told you, God, you can't put that much in one model. And the Lord said, that's not a leak. That's a tear. What's the tear for? Asked the angel. Well, it's for joy, it's for sadness, it's for sorrow, it's for disappointment, and for pride. The angel said with a smile, you're a genius, God Almighty. And the Lord said, but I didn't put it there. Maybe with all this in mind, we can better understand Mrs. Zebedee this morning, the mother of James and John in our text. Mrs. Zebedee was aware of the teachings of Jesus. I'm sure she followed her two sons when she realized what they told her, he was the Messiah. And she was aware of the fact that her two sons, James and John, were real close to him. And she understood how John felt about Jesus. They were two-thirds of the inner circle. Peter, James, and John, the inner circle. Now let me pause right here and tell you, Peter never went to Rome. No matter what the Roman Catholic Church says, he never went to Rome. Number two, Peter is not God's representative on earth. You are God's representative on earth. I am God's representative on earth. Amen? Can you say amen? And he's not the vicar of the church. The Holy Ghost is the vicar of the church. Bless his holy name. Amen? He doesn't need any man to take his place and usurp his authority. Amen? See, this inner circle was Peter, James, and John. She was certain that when the Lord formed his kingdom, that they should have responsibility and authority. And she wanted them to have positions of responsibility and authority. So in the first part of this chapter, Jesus tells a story that's very disturbing to her, to Mrs. Zebedee. He tells the story of a landowner who went out to find laborers early one morning. They agreed upon a fair day's wage and started working, and then at noon he went out and found some more because he saw that the work wasn't going to get done. And he hired them and they started working, and then towards the evening when the work shift was almost done, he runs out and he gets some more to help those that had started in the morning, those that had started at noon, and those now that would start at the evening. Then he paid them off at the end of the day, and all received the same wage. Now, like many of us, this caused Mrs. Zebedee a lot of wonder and curiosity. And she said to herself, will my sons really have a position of authority in the new kingdom? Or will the thief on the cross get the same reward as them, even though he is converted at the last moment? That didn't seem fair to her. That doesn't seem fair to us this morning, does it not? That those who worked forever, Paul gets the same reward as the thief on the cross? I don't think so, we say to ourselves. So when the opportunity presented itself, she comes to the Lord, and Matthew tells us that she bows before him and she issues and makes a request. Grant that these two sons of mine may sit one on your right hand and the other on your left in your kingdom. Now, many would criticize Mrs. Zebedee. And they would say, this woman was presumptuous. You have all the rest of the nine apostles, and she is asking for a place of privilege for just three. And actually just two. 10 are going to be left out. I can hear Peter now. How many can hear Peter? Well, I never. They get the right and the left. Where will I get? What will I get? Because you know how Peter was. But since today is Mother's Day, maybe we need to think a few moments of positive things about Mrs. Zebedee. We need to recognize that when she comes to Jesus, while Jesus does not grant her request, neither does he deny it. He doesn't grant her request, nor does he deny it. Why? Those of us who go in the rapture, those of us who overcome, are granted to sit with Jesus in his throne and on his throne, just as he sat down at the right hand of the Father on his throne. So Jesus knew. He doesn't have to deny it. He doesn't have to grant it. It's a foregone conclusion because he can look into the future and see what's going to happen. He simply reminds her of the cost of being seated on the throne of God, the right and the left. And then he tells her, it's my Father who's going to determine that. Now, we understand theologically that he's saying this in the flesh. He is a man. He's not saying this as God, the second person of the Trinity. He's saying this as a man. Because he full well knew who would sit on the right and who would sit on the left. There's some good things about Mrs. Zebedee, I think. The first good thing is inclusion. Inclusion. She came to the Lord praying that her sons might be included in the kingdom. Remember, she lived in a society and a culture that believed that it was easy not to be included. I've just got done reading and studying the book of Deuteronomy. And for every blessing, there is a curse. For every inclusion that God makes in a promise to Israel, there is a denial of position in him if you don't obey his commandments. It's amazing. And so she understood this by theological upbringing, that there could be a chance they would be left out. So she comes and she says, I want them to be included. Now I can think of no more important task of motherhood than that. Amen? Peter and Maureen come to Jesus and they say, Lord, make sure that Emily is on your right hand when you come in your kingdom. I would not criticize them for that. I don't know what Ruth and Stephen would do because they'd got to divide it up between four. And Raul and Nasa are in worse shape because they got to divide it up between five. So that is important. To seek that your children are saved is your most important task of mother and fatherhood. Amen? To therefore include them in the kingdom of God, to make sure that everything I do and say points them to Jesus, is my most important task. I got encouraged when I was talking with Jonathan, and we were talking about the way he was brought up. He brings it up all the time. So I go with it because I enjoy it. Because when he was in his late teens or early 20s, he stood in my kitchen and said, I hate you. I'm never going to raise my kids the way you raise me. And now is he singing a different tune. And I love the song he's singing. And he said to me, he said, you know something? I go to church and it's amazing. I know more about the Word of God than anybody else. And sometimes I can even correct the pastor. I said, don't do that. He says, sometimes only Peter can do that. Thank God for Peter. Amen. He said to me, it's amazing. I didn't like it when I was growing up, but I love it now. See, sometimes you see mothers pray. And mothers should pray. And sometimes they pray out of necessity. How many know what I'm talking about? Sometimes they pray because motherhood isn't easy. Extremely difficult. James Dobson tells about a time he came home when his son Ryan was a small baby. And it had been a terrible day for his wife. Ryan was not like Darla. No, Darla's a perfect baby, but Ryan was far from perfect. Maybe it's because Maureen is helping that makes her so wonderful. But Ryan had been sick, and he had cried all day. She hasn't been sick yet, has she? No. Has she been sick yet? No. So you know what it is. Because one of your other ones were sick occasionally, right? Ah, Nasa? You've had to nurse them when they're sick? That's fun, isn't it? Isn't it? Raul goes, glory God, I get to go to work. Praise Jesus. Yeah. He had cried all day. And once as she was changing his diaper, the telephone rang. And Shirley, which is James Dobson's wife, reached over to answer it before fastening up his diaper. And just then he had an attack of diarrhea. You can imagine. She cleaned up the mess, put him in a clean, sweet-smelling clothes. Then she took him into the living room and fed him. While she was burping him, he threw up all over her. Threw up on the couch. Now she had to clean him up, she had to clean herself up, and she had to clean the couch up. And James Dobson writes, "When I came home, I could smell the aroma of motherhood everywhere." How many know what I'm talking about? Amen. Shirley cried out to him, "Was all this in my contract?" Sometimes it's not in the contract, but we measure up. Sometimes mothers pray just out of frustration of it all. I can hear Shirley Dobson about the time he's thrown up on the couch. "Help me, Lord!" Jonathan, when he was first born, he had his days and his nights mixed up. He'd sleep all day and cry all night. About the sixth or seventh night that had happened, I said to Leah, "I can't take this anymore. This is not going to work at all. I'm going to stay home from the church office. I'm not going to do any work at the office. If I don't have anything to preach Sunday, so be it. I'm going to stay here, and that baby will not sleep." And I tickled him and I played with him and I threw him around and I grabbed his feet and I jerked him and I kept him awake all day as much as I could. Sometimes he'd fall asleep anyway, but I kept, and he slept through the night wonderfully. Didn't get up for the 3 o'clock feeding, but made it through. And I said, "Thank you, Jesus." Sometimes it's frustrating to be a parent. Now, if you think it's frustrating when they're 2, wait till they're 16. And sometimes in the frustration of trying to teach our children, we realize the difficulties of communication. Right? Now, parents, you best learn the word "like" now. Because that's going to be your favorite teenager's word. Well, maybe it will be something else by then. Bro, maybe. Or something else. Amen? The art of communication. Sometimes it's hard. "I don't hear you." I can hear Jonathan saying it right now. "I can't hear you." Yeah. No, it's not that he couldn't. It's that he didn't want to. Amen? Story is told of a father who gave his 2-year-old son, Steve, his very first responsibility. He told Steve, 2 years old, mind you, to watch Susan, his baby sister. Now, that father needed to be spanked. While he stepped out of the room, he hadn't been gone but a few moments when he heard a thump. And then Susan started crying. He rushed back to find that Susan had fallen off the couch and was stretched out on the floor, crying. Stephen sat there looking real innocent. His father said, "Steve, I told you to watch her." And Steve said, "I did. I watched her fall. I watched her cry. And I exactly did exactly what you said. I watched her." Communication is important. We Parents find it's not so easy. Sometimes it's filled with joy and sometimes it's filled with sadness. Sometimes our children make you so proud you want to pop your buttons. Other times you can't find enough handkerchief to cry your tears. I can remember folding Esther and Naomi in my arms at Paul's funeral. There wasn't enough tears to cry for their broken heart. They were in his vehicle when he fell out. They gave him CPR that started his heart again. And they were in the hospital when his mother came down to the emergency department to see her husband brain dead. What good is it if our children are successful in making money? Can you listen to me a moment? Driving fine automobiles and living in good neighborhoods if they don't know God? What does it matter if they gain the whole world and they lose their souls? There's nothing now while you're raising them that's worth the loss of their soul. Nothing. Being a parent's not easy, it's difficult. Mrs. Zebedee gives us a valuable example. She prayed earnestly to Jesus that her sons be included in the kingdom. I hope that we have the same concern for our children. I hope that every decision we make about their schedule is measured with their soul's destiny. Are you hearing me? Not with how they'll develop. No, their developing here doesn't matter if their soul is lost in hell forever. Are you hearing me? The devil will invest everything in seeing that he can destroy their soul. I need to invest everything that I can save their soul. I hope that the heart of every mother and father here this morning, God places a burden on you to go to the throne of God and to pray for them daily, and to read the Word of God with them, and to have devotions with them. That's important. Number two, involvement. Involvement. See, it wasn't only inclusion, it was involvement. It doesn't do any good if they're included, if they're not involved. Not only did Mrs. Zebedee pray that her children would be part of its kingdom, but she prayed that they would actively be involved in the work of the kingdom. Maybe it's not enough just to be saved. We got a lot of people thinking it's enough just to be saved. Well, we hire a pastor. He can bring people in. We don't have to. We're just going to heaven. That's all that's important. Churches are full this morning of people just content to sit in the pew on Sunday morning and do nothing Monday through Saturday. Hello? Oh, it's getting quiet now. There are plenty of people willing to sit back, receive the blessing, but never get involved in the real work. Where does the spirit of service begin? It begins in the house of God. I'll remember it till the day I die. It was 1966. We were sitting having potato salad. Sunday dinners were the best for me because my mother would make a potato salad on Saturday and she'd put it in the refrigerator and we would have it on Sunday. The temperature is 110 inside the house and you're eating cold potato salad. Oh, it was so good. And we follow it up with dessert, cold Jell-O. Cold, ice cold Jell-O. It was wonderful. And Dad leaned across the table and said, "Son, you're going to San Juan with us and you're going to preach." Couldn't you have told me that on Monday of last week? I've never preached before. He says, "No, you can preach now. Just tell them about Jesus." And that's when it all began in 1966. And you say, "I wish he had never done that." It begins at home. The mother's and father's example sets the pathway for the children. Everything we do and everything we say is an example to our children. And praying that our sons and daughters might be involved in the work of the kingdom is the most important prayer we can pray. Lord, don't let them just warm the pews. Let them be a part of what is happening, teachers and leaders and disciples. They might be the ones that go out into the world and find the lost. I thank God for Ayana, because Leah decided to ask her to help with Children's Church, and she said, yes, that is valuable to me. That is more valuable than anything else. That is more valuable than a college degree for Ayana, and I hope she gets one, but that's far more valuable, because that puts her on the first level with what God's going to do in her life. Are you hearing me? Are you hearing me? Mrs. Zebedee prayed that her children would be actively involved in the work of God's kingdom, that they would walk in His footsteps. I can remember one time when I made a mistake. I made a lot of them in raising my children, a lot of them. And I made one, and Leah didn't like it. Thank God for Leah. And she said, boy, that's going to lead them to Jesus, isn't it? You talk, she might as well have put a sword right through my heart, Peter. Man, that cut me down. I had to go to my children and I had to apologize. I had to say I'm sorry. I apologized many times to them when I made a mistake. My father rarely apologized to me. Well, he did once, because he spanked me when I hadn't done anything wrong, and later on, a day or two later, he realized he had spanked me when I hadn't done anything, and he came to me and said, I'm sorry, son, that I whipped you for doing that, and you didn't do anything, but that's just for those times that I really didn't know that you had disobeyed me. So it was half of an apology. Half an apology. See, Mrs. Zebedee understood that that was important. Involvement in the kingdom of God is important. I had a drug problem when I was a kid. I got drugged to church every time there was a service. Not just in our church, but any church within 50 miles. We would go. I said to one pastor, he said to me, he said, I remember you. I was itinerating and I was in his church because I was raising money to go to Columbia. He says, I remember you used to come up here when we had revival meetings with your parents. I thought that was fantastic that your father would bring you. I said, I didn't. Why didn't you? Because I had to get up and go to school the next day, and services back then lasted till midnight. How many remember when church lasted till midnight? Many don't remember that anymore, but I do. And then we'd have to go home, go to bed, and get up and go to school. Involvement was important. And it's important. And then number three, intentions. Intentions. Thirdly, Mrs. Zebedee had big intentions. She had gigantic expectations. We need to have huge expectations for our children. Someone said, but you don't understand, Pastor. I don't want them to feel that I'm disappointed in them. No, no, that's not what I'm talking about. They will live up to our expectations. Hello? Amen. They will live up to our... I asked Jonathan when we were down there a couple weeks ago. I said, son, what caused you to pattern your life the way it is now? And he said to me, he said, Dad, I knew you expected it of me. And Mom expected it of me. See? She wanted them on the right hand and on the left hand of Jesus. When you're working in the kingdom, there's no higher position than the right hand and the left hand of the king themselves. That was old Oriental, Far Eastern culture and philosophy. That was the most important part. The right was more important than the left. But if you didn't get the right, the left was great. Too often we settle, hear me, for mediocrity in the church. Too often we settle for mediocrity in the church. We have it because we settle for it. Expectation ought to be great. See, I need to expect God to do something. When we come to church on Sunday morning, we need to expect God to do something. If we all expect God to do something, He will. Amen? Then too long we have been content with just barely making it through the door. We're content for any little blessing we might get from the Lord. I don't want to be content with what I have. I only want to be content when I have all He has for me. Amen? Let's develop an incontent. Is that a word? Incontent? Any experts here in the English language? Is that a word, Caroline? Incontent?
Discontent.
Thank you. We need to develop discontent for what we have in God. Amen? Be discontent with what God has done for us. Oh, He's blessed us. Write down His blessing. I say that all the time. I say it again. We need to make a list of all the blessings God has given us and make it specific and then paste it on our mirror in the bathroom or on the refrigerator so that when we're discouraged, we can go down that list and get blessed in God.
Amen.
And then at the bottom, we need to put, I'm not content yet. I want more from God. We sing an old chorus, more of you, more of you. I've had it all, but what I want is more of you. Of things I've had my fill, and yet I hunger still, empty and bare. Lord, hear my prayer for more of you. Too long we've been satisfied just to let things happen. We've been satisfied just to sit back and let things happen. Que será? Será. What will be, will be. And we have that saying, well, it is what it is. Amen? Not in the house of God and not in the kingdom of God. Amen? Let's make it what God wants it to be. It is time for some of us to take our position on the right hand and the left hand of the throne and the kingdom of God. Amen? Become leaders, molding and fashioning the outreach of the church, mobilizing to make sure the message of Christ gets to a dying world. Oh, but that's what we have the pastor for. No. The farmer doesn't birth the calves. The cows birth the calves. Oh, pastor called us heifers this morning. I don't want to go back to that church. The ewes have the sheep and the lambs, not the shepherd. Amen? Amen. It's time to strive for excellence. It's time to reach for the very best it is. Amen?
Amen.
If you have a blank check, if a Elon Musk were to come to church this morning, and he were to sit right here in the front row, and he would say, Pastor, at the end of the service, can I say something? Yes. Brother Elon, say something. And he'd turn around and say, I have a blank check for everybody here. Go to the local dealership of your choice and give them, I want to buy everyone here a brand spanking new automobile to your satisfaction and choice. And Raul runs home. And his wife says, what are you going to buy? He says, I'm looking down here on Facebook Marketplace to see if I can find a Yugo. Right, Raul? No. What would be your favorite choice?
Expedition.
An Expedition. Brand spanking new one, right? Top of the line, right? Platinum. Yeah. How about you, Ruth?
Sure.
Huh? What would you buy? Because he's given a blank check to you and a blank check to Stephen. You get your very own. Stephen has nothing to do with that. Stephen can't be in the decision. So what would be your choice?
The most expensive.
Huh?
The most expensive.
Yeah, but what? What? A Rolls Royce? Oh, a Rolls Royce. How about you, James?
The one that was suiting me.
Huh?
The one that you can afford, and I know you will afford.
Yeah, okay, great. How about you, possible? All things are possible, so you get the possibility of a brand new vehicle of your choice. Ah, see, some of you didn't answer right. Let me help you answer right. You knew I was going to do this, right? Let me help you. I'm going to take that check, and I'm going to go to the dealership, And I'm going to pick one that's not all that expensive so that I can pick two. Are you hearing me? If the expedition is $90,000, which is what it is, right? I can get a Bronco for $45,000 and an F-150 for $45,000 and I've got two. See? What I'm saying is we don't settle for what we have. We settle for the best, for God's best. We pick out of the Word of God the very best from His promises. We write them down. If you're not journaling, maybe you need to. When you read the Word of God, have a piece of paper beside the Bible and write down. We write down the very best. Yes, this promise is great, but let me make it better and let me expect this from God Almighty. Are you hearing me?
Amen.
Okay? It's time to strive for excellence. It's time to reach for the very best there is. Remember Emma Bombeck? Remember her, God saying in the column she wrote, I am close to creating something very much like myself. I suppose that this is why today is very special, because we recognize that mother's love is probably the closest example to God's love there is. My love for Leah sometimes can degrade into necessity. The love of a mother for her child never degrades into necessity. It's always right there. It's always right there. See? It is a love that goes through the valley of the shadow of death to bring life into being. It's a love that sacrifices itself over and over again, that would even dare to lay down its life for its own offspring. I put my arms around my mother as we stood by Paul's casket Thursday before the Friday funeral, and I heard her say these words, let me trade places with Paul, Lord, please. Let me trade places with Paul, Lord, please. The story is told out of World War II and the Holocaust that took the lives of over 6 million people, of Solomon Rosenberg's and his family. This is a true story, and I want to end with this. Solomon Rosenberg and his wife and their two sons and his mother and his father were arrested and placed in a Nazi concentration camp. It was a labor camp, and the rules were very, very simple. As long as you can do your work, you will be permitted to live. When you become too weak to do your work, you will be exterminated. Simple. Rosenberg watched his mother and father march off to their death, and he knew that next would be his youngest son, David, because David was born a sickly child and a frail child. Every evening, Mr. Rosenberg came back into the barracks after his hours of labor, and he'd search the faces of his family. When he found them, they would huddle together, they would embrace one another, and they would thank God for another day. One day, Rosenberg came back and didn't see those familiar faces. He discovered that his eldest son, Joshua, in the corner, huddled and weeping and praying, and he said, Josh, tell me it's not true. Joshua turned and said, it's true, Papa. Today David was not strong enough to do his work, so they came for him. But where's your mother? Asked Mr. Rosenberg. Oh, Papa, he said, when they came for David, he was afraid and cried. And Mama said, there's nothing to be afraid of, David. And she took his hand and went with him. That's motherhood. That's the kind of love of motherhood. That's why this is your day. May God bless you. I pray that if there's someone here that has never experienced the love of God or the love that He showed in creating mothers, you can find that love as you ask Him to forgive you of your sins. There's nothing to be afraid of. Jesus says, I'll go with you. Maybe you're going through a difficult time. Just hear the words of Mrs. Rosenberg to her son David. Jesus, to you, there's nothing to be afraid of. I'll go with you. We need to recognize he extends his invitation. Whether we're in a dark place or not, he extends an invitation this morning. Make me first in your life, and I'll walk with you eternally. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for every single mother here. Lord, let them feel a fresh touch of your strength, your wisdom, your power, your love. We fathers will try to give them something special today, and our children will try to give them something special today, but more special it cannot be than to have a fresh touch of the Holy Ghost this morning. Wrap your arms around them. Let them feel your presence, we pray in Jesus' name. We cover every home represented here with your blood. We curse every strategy of hell to destroy our children in Jesus' name. Lord, we open ourselves up to the wisdom of your word and the wisdom of the word we hear and the wisdom of the Holy Spirit in our heart. We open ourselves up this morning to your guidance, that we will order our schedule, we will order our conduct, we'll order our words, we'll order the atmosphere of our family to be conducive to leading our children to the kingdom of heaven in Jesus' name. We pray, Lord, that you will bless every family, provide financially for every family in Jesus' name. We pray in a special way for James this morning, so far away from his family and children. We pray that you'll wrap your arms around him. Let his wife over there feel the touch of your Holy Ghost, we pray. Let his children feel the warmth of your Spirit in the representation of their Father in Jesus' name. Bless him, we pray, and provide for him in Jesus' name. We pray for those mothers that are not here this morning. We pray for those that may be sick. We pray in a special way for Milton this morning in Jesus' name. Walk into that hospital room, Lord, and minister to him by your power. Let strength come into those bones in Jesus' name. May your will be done. Strengthen Sandra, we pray, in the name of Jesus. We'll thank you for it. Lord, take us from this house, but not from your presence. And most of all, give us somebody this week we can lead to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, we pray. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Amen. Get your flowers as you leave. Amen. Glory to God. You.